Good stuff. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Father. You know, I know Kendra prayed earlier for the people in Turkey and Syria. Did you guys saw what happened, right? Devastating, huh? What is it now? 22,000 people have died. Can we pray again for them? Can we not be selfish and just think about them? Let's do that. Just lift up your voice. Pray for the people in Turkey. Yeah, let's just do this. I don't know if you guys used to do this, but let's just pray together. You know, lift up your voice. You know, Father God, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for giving us this opportunity again to come before you. And specifically in one accord, Lord, we pray for the people in Turkey and Syria. Our brothers and sisters, we don't know them, they don't know us, but Lord, they are your people. Whether they know you or not, but God, we see the devastation. We see the death. It's just heartbroken. It's heartbroken. So Father, this morning, we sympathize with them and we pray that you intervene. Especially in this cold weather, people that have lost their loved one, once again, God, we take this time intentionally to mention their name. You know each person that is suffering. You know how, you know, there's one older gentleman, he was crying on TV. He was saying, I lost my baby, I lost my wife, I lost my 54 years old wife who had been married for 54 years. And he was just sobbing, an old man sobbing. This earthquake just took them by surprise at 4 a.m. And God, we can only imagine what they're going through. But we call your name. We ask, Lord, that you would intervene for them. We pray that you would not only allow other countries to go and help them, but we pray that you would give other countries such compassion for Syria. Lord, we come against the war that's going out there. The discord between Syria and Turkey. God, we pray for an intervention in the name of Jesus. The Bible calls us to pray for those that are suffering. And God, we mention their name. Carry them. Provide for them. Comfort them. Thank you, Lord. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. I'm going to say amen. All right, so this morning I want to take this time to share with you before we go eat. Continue to feast at the Lord's table. I want to take some time to talk to you again about priorities. Why should, you know, it's like, what is it? Is it a Tuesday or Wednesday? It's going to be Valentine's Day, right? Is it Tuesday or Wednesday? Mm-hmm. So everybody's looking for love, right? Everybody needs love. We all need love. You know, last week I talked to you about priorities, and I did share with you some of my priorities, and a couple of them I give you. One of my priority as a follower of Christ is to be a good husband, to be a good father. You know, I also talk about one of my key priority is to be a good shepherd because the Lord called me to pastor. So that's my priority. So I strive to be a shepherd after God's heart. So therefore, I didn't touch that, but I'm going to mention a couple of them I didn't go over last week. So therefore, I need to pray. One of my priorities is prayer. I do not negotiating prayer. I spent quality time. I am intentional about my prayer time. Okay, now my schedule is completely different from most of you because I can probably sleep every day till 7 or 8. Most of you can't do that. Okay, so I don't have to wake up at 4 a.m. to pray and read my Bible. But sometimes I do. I just wake up at 3 a.m. I'm like, okay, well, what's going on? So therefore, I just walk around and pray, or I put something on. I listen to the Bible. So that's I'm telling you my priorities. You know, and then, of course, I was thinking this week, since a lot of people are talking about love, you know, all commercials about love, you know, people think love takes. I mean, the way the world project love, it's like, man, if I'm not happy here, I go find love there. It's not like that. You know, when you read the Bible, you realize love doesn't take. Love gives. John 3:16, right? Help me out. For God so loved the world that he gave. Right there. He gave. You see, when you love someone, you will understand. The best way for you to understand love is when you get to really love someone when you don't like them. That makes sense? We all have been there. You love someone when you don't like them. Because then what is love? Love is patience. Love is kindness. Love is gentleness. Love is long-suffering. You know, our world needs love. But are we able to love outside of God? Completely impossible. For those of us who've been married 50, 20, 30, 15, 13, whatever your age is in marriage, you know it's completely impossible to love. Or let's get outside that circle of marriage. Let's say talk about our families. Is it easy to love the unlovable one that's in your family, the stubborn one? It's not easy. We all have been there. It's not easy. And if it wasn't for the love of God, you and them would be enemies. But the love of God changed your heart. The presence of God in your life gives you the ability to love and forgive. I encourage every ladies here to sign up for the ladies weekend if you can, if you're around. Don't say I've done it before. It's always different. You know, we cannot get used to God's word. And I think that's a dangerous thing to say, I've been there, done that. There's no such been there, done that in Jesus. Oh, I've read this before. Oh, I've heard this before. Oh, John 3:16, I tell you, tomorrow morning, find sometimes, or sometimes this week, find sometimes and really read, get in your Bible, read John chapter 3 again. The Lord's going to open your eyes, your spirit, man, on things that you've never seen. So why should love be a priority in a world like this? Why should love be my priority? Why should love be your priority? Let's open our Bibles in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 25. Now, we begin to read a new translation. They call it the Passion, okay? I figured I read it from the King James, New King James, and the NLT, and then I read it from the Passion. So I have the Passion up here on the screen for those of you who do not have the Passion, so you can follow with me. Because this version pretty much say everything I needed to say. So I'm going to read it and talk for 5 minutes and then we go eat. How about that? I'm serious. Watch me. Watch me going. All right? Watch me going. Now, if I'm not done, you get up and start going out there and eat. All right? All right? Let's go. You are always and dearly loved by God. Stop right there. So you are always loved, always and dearly loved by who? By God. So you stop the voice of the enemy telling you in your mind you're not loved by God. You're not enough. You see, the world put us in a box. The world put expectation on us. Where, you know, the world tells you, you gotta look certain ways, you gotta do certain things, you gotta drive certain things, you gotta have this so you could be appreciated or loved. Let me break it to you again today. It is not like that in Abba's house. You know, and I know sometimes some of you, it's so easy to love other people, but it's so rough for you to receive love from others. You know, I don't know about you, but I've talked to some people where it's so easy for them to give everything. But the moment someone is gonna, you know, just love on them, honor them. Like, I mean, this is our family, right? This church is, we are a family. We are a family. So one of the things we do in our family, we make it a culture. On our birthdays, it's a holiday. I mean, we still go to work, we still go to school, but it is a holiday. We take time, whether in the morning or in the evening, whenever we can, to celebrate each other. And I know some of you, you don't like celebration. Please, let me celebrate you, because I'm not going to celebrate you when you're dead. You love so well, so allow other people to love you. You love so well. That's what it says here. You are always and dearly loved by God. Accept God's love. God doesn't love like we do, because his love is not conditional. And if you could only, you and I could only accept that fact. God, my Father, I don't have to perform for him. Nothing, there's nothing I can do. I tell you, even as a preacher, as a pastor, for me to function in that kind of mindset freed me up, because I don't have to perform. I don't have, my church could have 10 people. I mean, I believe it's not, you know, if you're doing it right and people, you guys are doing the work of the ministry, God will grow the church. If it's a lively church, if it's a dead church, people don't want anything to do with it. But if it's a church where you come, you get live. You come alive. Oh, it will grow. So accept God's love. You are always loved and dearly, you are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God. Amen? Since you have been divinely chosen by the Holy One to be holy, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy, be merciful as your endeavor to understand others. Be merciful. Be merciful. Make it your goal to understand others, even though you don't understand them. You know, sometimes we try to get it, to understand them. Even the one you live with, you never get them. It's okay. And be compassionate, showing what? Kindness toward all. Why should love be your priority? Because God is love. They will know us by the way we love others. It's unfortunate in the past decades, probably in the past 50 years, the church has, we have missed the goal by not loving people. Instead of loving them, we judge them. You see, in God's house, everyone's welcome. In this church, everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. I mean, if you would have to clean your act before you come to Jesus, the sacrifice on the cross would be worthless. Come as you are. That's what he said. Come as you are. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Wow. Anybody here, don't raise your hands, but anybody here so easily offended? I used to be like that. So easily offended. I get offended for nothing. And then you know what happened when I get offended? I run away. I break the commitment. I get offended. You know, the person might not be talking, but there's something else called third of offense, like third party offense. You know, it's like Aaron is my friend, but then because one offended Aaron, then I got offended. You know those type of offense? I mean, Ron didn't offend me, he offended my friend. But I now I'm so mad at one. Can you imagine if the church, the body of Christ, would really do love the way Christ called us to do it? The whole world would want some. And today God's calling you to get back to put that priority on your top list, to love people. To really love them. Stop judging them. Make love your priority. Love doesn't take. Love gives. Who in your life you need to show that to today? Tolerate the weakness of those in the faith, in the family of faith. I love that. The word's telling me, all right, you know what? You need to tolerate them. Just give the Holy Spirit room to make them grow. Tell you, when I read this, it's like, oh, this relieves me from getting frustrated with people. I don't know about you. I don't have to be frustrated with anybody. You know, you remember your kids? Why are you frustrated with them? You're like 2 years old, can't wait for them to be 13. And then they're 13, they're a pain in your butt. And now you want to go back to when they were 2 years old. Doesn't happen. Forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love is supreme. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Wow. You mature? Show that you love. What is love? Love is kind. Love doesn't judge. And sometimes the best way to love is to keep your mouth shut. You know, I repeat it many times here, social media, man. It's not worth it. Keep your personal opinion to yourself. Especially on things, you know, political, whatever. I'm telling myself this all the time. Because sometimes you see something, you just want to tell them what you think. Let me tell you this. Don't. Save you a lot of trouble. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of his one body. And always be thankful. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to know what to do? Well, let the word of God dwell in you. Why do you think we put a lot of emphasis here on you must be reading your Bible? You must eat. You know, this past week I observed it again. I mean, PK and Nancy, they fed us very well. It was one of the time it felt like, yeah, everybody's eating very healthy. Lots of salad, you know, not a lot of, you know, junk food and stuff. But then, you know, breakfast was optional. And we had a small lunch and then dinner. But we spent a lot of time in, you know, session, praying and worship and teaching and stuff. And then free time. But then every time we go back to eat, I'm like, man, what did I do to feel hungry? So automatically, this physical body burns calorie. You know, you eat in the morning, you eat lunch, or if you decide you're not going to eat lunch, guess what's going to happen? This afternoon, you're going to feel like, whoa, what happened? I got to eat something. And I thought about it again. Spirit, your spirit man must be fed. If you don't feed your spirit man with the word of God, guess what's going to happen to you? Spiritually, there's no men. The same thing.
You wonder why your thoughts are like the world thoughts. You wonder why you're fighting with sin. You wonder why you keep hating this person. You wonder why you're struggling spiritually. I tell you again, your spirit man is just dying. You're dying. You're killing your spirit man. You got to feed yourself. And that in there is one point for my coming message in the next coming week. Part of maturity, you learn how to feed yourself. A mature person takes care of themselves. You bathe yourself, right? You dress yourself. You know, you feed yourself. That's signs of maturity. A child's got to depend on you. A toddler's got to depend on you. When they dirty their pants, their parents got to do it. Why the world needs love? Why should love be your priority? Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scripture as you teach and instruct one another with psalm and with festive praises, with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. So sing to God with all your hearts. Listen to this. This is the instruction. Sing to God. Do not shy away. You tell your soul, do not shy away. You can't sing, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. How do you get rid of the spirit of heaviness? You praise. You know, some of us tonight gonna be like, when there's a touchdown, you're like, hey, touchdown. Some of you gonna do it. Yeah, that's it. Oh, wow. Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. And then I jump to verse 18. It says, loving relationships. It takes what we're talking about here a little closer to home in our family. It says, let every wife be supportive and tenderly devoted to her husband. If you're married, this is your instruction. Be supportive, tenderly devoted to your husband. For this is a beautiful illustration of our devotion to Christ. Let every husband be filled with cherishing love. I love this. Cherishing love. Got to cherish it. Cherish. You ever had something you cherish? Something you inherit by your dad or something you just love it. You cherish it. You've ever had a tree that you're bringing up, right? A flower you're taking care of. You're cherishing it. Let the husband be filled with cherishing love for his wife and never be insensitive towards her. Let the children, I am included because my mom and dad are still alive. I'm a child. It says children, let the children respect and pay attention to their parents in everything, for this praises the Lord. Our Lord Jesus. And fathers, don't have unrealistic expectations for your children, or else they may become discouraged. Unrealistic expectation, you know. Sometimes the parents, we put so much expectation of our child on our child. Stop it. Let them figure it out. Now, I'm learning this. You know, I'm new to this, right? I've got young adults. Some of you have been there. Some of you have counseled me, men's group. We talk about a lot of things. I've learned a lot from those guys. Let every employee listen well and follow the instructions of their employer. Not just when their employers are watching,
and not in pretense, but faithful in all things. So if you're working for someone, you can't stand them, find another job. Because every day you go to that job, you're just disobeying God's word. If you're working with someone and that person is your boss, and every day you go in there and your heart is just boiling with bitterness, please go find another job or allow the Lord. Allow the Lord to change, teach your heart submission. Because they are the boss. You're the worker. You submit, man. Come on, man. They're boss. They're the boss. That's what it says here. If the church would start doing love the way God intended to be, we would have a good world. They will know, the world will know that we are followers of Christ, not in the way we dress, the way we do church, but in the way we interact with people. And that's what the church has lost. We've lost the culture of loving people, accepting them where they're at. Culture of honor. A culture where people really forgive one another. For we ought to live our lives with pure hearts in the constant awe and wonder of our Lord God. Put your heart and soul into every activity you do as though you're doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others. Man, listen to this, guys. Everything you do, put your heart into it. Wow. Including chores at home. You want to attract God's blessing in your life? Well, I want you to take advantage of God's blessing. Maybe that's not the right word, take advantage, but it's more like I want you to profit. Enjoy, that's it. Enjoy God's blessings. I want you to enjoy God's blessings. They are for you. And each of God's blessings accompanied with principles. For we know that we will receive a reward, an inheritance from our Lord as we serve the Lord Yahweh, the Anointed One. A disciple will be repaid. I like this word, disciple. A disciple will be repaid for what he has learned and followed. For God pays no attention to titles or prestige of men. But we do. And I want to finish with five strategies right there to help us to keep our priorities straight. Number one, imitate Christ. According to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 17, imitate Christ's compassion, forgiving, and his forgiving attitude. Imitate. See how Christ did it and do it. If you're fighting with it, well, die to yourself. Because unless you pick up your cross, you forget about your own egos, you cannot follow Christ. Number two, let love guide your life. What kind of love are we talking about? Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is pure. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. Number three, let the peace of Christ rule your heart. You feel like you don't have peace? Come on. Let Jesus in. Especially now in this world. I tell you, if you don't have peace, there's nothing in this world that can give peace. You can work for something you think that would bring you peace, and bang, you got it. And you're like, man, this is empty. Only Jesus can give us peace. Number four, stop complaining. Be thankful. Oh, I'm telling you, be thankful. If you want to complain, I tell you, I am an open door. You can always come and talk to me, except you have nothing to complain to me about. Nothing. I am your safe place. Anytime. And I mean, if you don't call me, that's your problem. But I'm here for you. I will listen to you anytime. I tell you, you call me, I'm going to jump in the car. It doesn't matter. Come rain inside. Come rain or shine. And snow. See, I include snow in it. That means you know I love you. But you have nothing to complain about. Always be thankful. Always, always. When you feel like you want to complain, I mean, I don't know, maybe you could do like, stop complaining. Stop complaining.
You have so much to be thankful for. You have so much go on YouTube and watched earthquake. What happened? I watched it the other day. I'm like, my heart's just aching. We went through it 12 years ago. Death, the smell of death in a community. The Lord has blessed you. My brothers and sisters, listen, you are so blessed. Be thankful. Thank God. You have so much. You do. And I want you to continue to live a life of thankfulness. Keep God's word in you all the time. Keep it. Fall in love with your Bible. Breathe the word. And finally, before I pray for the food, yes, we can. Can I have a witness? Yes, we can. Can I have a witness? Oh, come on, help me out. Yes, we can. Look at someone to say, yes, we can. That's right, Becky. Yes, we can. That's right. That's the good news. Yes, we can, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Yes, we can, not in my own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can. We submit. Would you submit to love today? Would you? Would you? Well, that's a legit question. I'm asking you. Will you submit to love today? Would you make love your priority? You know, as the world's celebrating love this week, we should, as God's people, make love our priority. How did I do? Bang, right on time. Let's stand in the presence of God. thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Just lift up your hands just like that. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and die on the cross to show us what true love is. And Father, we receive your word today. We open up our hearts. We accept it. And we ask in the name of Jesus that you do the miracle that needs to happen in our hearts so we can continue to be the love, your hands and feet, in this world that is in so desperate, is in desperation for love. They don't know it. They won't know it until they encounter you. But we are the closest thing they will encounter to you, Father. So God, this morning we accept your word and we thank you for the miracle, for the work you're doing in our hearts. And Lord, as we continue to celebrate what you are, who you are in our lives and what you've done in the next room by eating together, we pray that you would bless the food, bless our gathering, Lord God. May your presence be with us, not only for today, but until we see you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. How about that? We transition in the next room and let's continue our celebration.